Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. You got all
the news. Welcome here to Thomas Village Baptist Church.
You got a little bit.
It's a blessed morning. Welcome everyone who's joined us here in the sanctuary and on Facebook, social media. Just in the way of announcements here this morning, there will be a community event on October the 29th at Kaler's Chapel. They have invited Thomas Village Baptist Church to join them in a fall festival, trunk or treat event. So anyone who is interested in doing that is welcome to come out. You can see Tammy Bledsoe for further information on that, but it's just an open invitation from Kaler's Chapel to join them on that. And secondly, for next Saturday, October 22nd, is the Samaritan's Purse packing party for the shoeboxes. Begin at 9 a.m. So again, 9 a.m. next Saturday, October 21st, packing party. Come out. If enough people come out, we can hit it and get it done pretty quickly. So we'll come out on that. Any other announcements? Any other thing in the way of announcements? Anybody has?
We'll be in John chapter 18 this morning.
John chapter 18. All right. Well, let's go ahead and just bow our heads and start off with a word of prayer this morning. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, just for the privilege to be in your house this morning, Father, Lord, just to come together as one body of worshipers, Lord, one body of believers, Lord. We are one body with many members. Lord, we just praise you and thank you so much, Lord, and just ask that you will just bless us here this morning. Lord, bless your word as it is preached and taught to us. Open our hearts and our minds. I just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Well, I hope everyone had a good week, and I'm glad that God has taken care of us to where we can meet again. And let's all stand and sing just about that topic, God taking care of us, number 64. Let's all stand and sing. 64.
Take care of you.
make it personal and say, God will take care of me. All right? That should give us a little comfort.
Blessed Redeemer.
Oh, they're changing it up. They threw me off right there. There's supposed to be another one, another song come right here, ain't there? There is? Okay, y'all got to tell me something now. You got to tell me something.
I'd have been afraid. I'd have been accused. Hey, well, I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it, and then I couldn't have been accused of being full of the Holy Ghost. So. Anyway. Oh. Well, I can't see with glasses. Anyway. Just a little bit of announcement. I know y'all have been noticing, as I have, I've mentioned it in the Sunday school class, that all the leaves have just changed all of a sudden. And I was telling them, I said, I don't believe Rembrandt could have painted a picture as pretty as what God paints around. Now, you know, the temperature is beginning to change. We're going to be a little bit cooler. I've actually got long sleeves on today. And but naturally, it wouldn't be as cool as it has been. But this week's going to be. Now, the announcement I've actually got for you, I've rambled along here a whole lot, but downstairs, right outside of the preacher's office, we've got a lot of books, or several books, that we can learn more about our Lord, learn more about God. We've been, we're blessed by having a house of worship. We're blessed by having teachers and preachers and all to bring us the Word of God. But we also have a lot of books there that while you're sitting around in the house with nothing to do this winter, there's some good books that can help you learn more about our Lord. So feel free to go down there and dig through the books. Maybe they'll be on the shelf or whatever at that time, but maybe not. But anyway, you can do that. So anyway. While traveling through this world of sorrow, I'm on my way to glory land. I'll not turn back the sun tomorrow. My trials here I'll understand. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more. Reach that heavenly city. Mean no more than I know now. I'm glad I know the blessed Savior. Through His blood, He set me free. Though rough the road, I shall not waver. For some glad day, His face I'll see. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that mansion I'm going to receive as my reward. I want to know more about that homeland. I need to go there someday, somehow. After I reach that heavenly city, I mean it no more than I know now. He promised when His soul ascended, I'm coming back. The Lord did say, upon His promise you depended, on wings of love you'll soar away. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that mansion I'm going to receive as my reward. I want to know more about that homeland. I mean to go there someday, somehow. And after I reach that heavenly city, I mean to know more than I know now.
Children's Church. Now, Brother Otis is waiting to teach you. Ready to go. Good morning to all. It's good to see you. So thankful that you've came out again this morning. We'll be in the book of John chapter 18. And if you're watching by Facebook or if you're listening or just new to being in church with us, it's a privilege to have you with us. And if you don't know anything else, know that nobody loves you like Jesus. As you're turning to John 18, that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. Amen? Do we got any words of praise or testimony this morning? Amen. Anyone else? I got a question. How you get cigar smoke out of the house? My wife lit up last night after 50. No, I'm cutting up. She didn't light up. I'm cutting the fool. But she should be praising the Lord that her team finally won and beat. I was rooting for them, too. I was rooting for them, too, yesterday. As you're turning to John chapter 18, we'll be in verse 33. When there was 2 seconds left, we called Maddie, who was outside the stadium watching it on the big screen TV. And when that loaf of bread went over the goalpost, you could not hear anything that was going on in the background. So she's getting her experience and her excitement. But any other words of praise or testimony this morning? As Brother Gary said, as you're turning to John chapter 18, it's just this year something about the leaves are really standing out. I don't know what it is. The other day I was just sitting, and I've tried to get Mom and Daddy to come up here and tell them that it's changing a little sooner than it usually does, but the reds and the burgundies and the yellows, and then you have the greens of the green of the evergreen, and then I think I was up here at the track is where I was. I was at the center up there, just sitting there eating, and it was just a beautiful picture, and I tried to send it to Daddy, and then it didn't do it justice. I was like, I shouldn't even took that doggone picture because it just didn't even look as good, but it is so beautiful. And then the other day, as you're turning to John, I just thank God for His creation. Well, the other day, I was driving up the road, and the wind come in, and I was surrounded by leaves, and leaves was just blowing everywhere, and it was just like, oh, you know, I mean, it's amazing how God can refresh, and even in death, we know that death, that's what that is, that's what we're seeing, is the dying, the passing from the summer into the frigidness of winter, but even in that, there is beauty. And hallelujah, today, when we die, we can say that we're passing from our worst life into our best life. Amen? And we'll be shaking off these old bodies. The Bible says that we cannot enter into heaven with these bodies. So the choice is either to hold on to this body or go to heaven. Praise God. Let go of the body. Amen? And let God give us a new one today. Any other words of praise or testimony this morning? Amen. 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 I called and they were in the ambulance. And as you turn to John 18, verse 33, she said, how did you find out? I said, God's got angels everywhere. And they and they let me know. Brother Chris saw it happen or was right there after it. And so, but we are thankful that she and her passenger came through. And from what we can tell, the one that was involved, the other driver, as well as come through it well as also. Anyone else this morning, word of praise or testimony? Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Thank you, Brother Paul. Anyone else? It's good to see all of you today. I tell you, it's a little dreary out there today, but praise God. We have His presence. The person of the Holy Spirit is here with us, and it's just amazing that God wants to speak to us today. And I pray that you've invited Him to be in your worship experience today. John tells us that it's impossible for us to worship Him. He wants worshipers. That's what He tells us. The Bible says He desires for people, men, to worship Him. But if we're going to worship Him, we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And one, I believe you can't worship Him without having the Holy Spirit inside of you, without being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then number two, just be honest with Him how you're feeling today. If you got the gloomies, tell Him I got the gloomies. If you're a little bit down, tell Him you're down. If there's something else going on, just let Him know and say, I'm trying my best to enter in truth through your Holy Spirit. Amen? So, this morning I want to talk to you about what is truth. What is truth? And I mentioned this, God has really been, the Holy Spirit has been kind of stockpiling sermons over the past couple of months, and this has not been one of those weeks, but we were talking in our Tuesday morning prayer meeting at 11. I want to say thank you to Brother Wayne and Brother Frank for the men's breakfast yesterday. Had a good turnout there, and looking forward to it again. But I pray, and it may be semantics and it may be a meaning of a word, I pray that God gives me a message and not a sermon. Sermons, I feel like you can get them a dime or a dozen, but it takes the Holy Spirit to give you a message. And it takes the Holy Spirit for us to receive a message. And that's what I've been praying for this week. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me in the honor of God's Word. John chapter 18, you're going to see that this is a familiar passage. You're going to understand where it falls into. John chapter 18, beginning in verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, Thou sayest this thing of thyself, or sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Pilate answered, I'm not a Jew, or am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight,
that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus said, Thou sayest that I am a king. But to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said thus, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. What is truth? You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you and I praise you for this day. I thank you for the beauty that we are surrounded by. Heavenly Father, Lord, you've shown yourself faithful to us this week as we consider Sister Carol. God, as we consider the fiery darts of the devil, that we don't have any idea of what all we've passed or what all that's passed by us that could have harmed us, hindered us, or basically taken our lives. But Heavenly Father, Lord, you've been faithful. And so, God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I pray right now that you'll take your word and Holy Spirit, that you'll use it to grow our hearts, grow our minds. If there be one in the sound of my voice today that does not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today will be the day. But God, I pray that today you bring conviction in our lives. Heavenly Father, Lord, that we will be convicted of the state of our nation, of the state of the where we're living at. And Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I pray that you can forgive me of my sins, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to read that to you again. Then Pilate went back into his headquarters, and he then summoned Jesus and asking, Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, Are you asking me this on your own, or have others told you about me? I'm not a Jew, Pilate replied. Your own nation and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done? And Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. For if my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Are you a king then? Pilate asked. And Jesus replied, You say I'm a king, but I was born for this, and I have come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Then Pilate asked, What is truth? What is truth? We're living in a time where if you went out and you asked 50 people what a definition of truth is, you'll probably get at least 30 different answers. This passage here is probably falls into the most stressful period of our Lord and Savior's life. It's in between the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was sold out by one of his own friends, a close friend, so close that he kissed him on the cheek when he sold him out. And we know that then it's going to end on the cross, where he gives his life as a sacrifice for sin, for the world's sin. He's already been taken to the Sanhedrin, and there's been the kangaroo court against him, and they've had false witnesses against him. Then Jesus, the Sanhedrin, they couldn't kill anybody. They couldn't take the life, but as you know, they were trying to kill him. As we look through the book of John, many places they sought that they could take him, and they finally found this. And so then they bring him to Pilate. Well, Pilate, as he says right here, I can't find anything wrong with him. And so he tries to pass the buck, and then he takes him and sends him on to Herod Antipas. And so he's trying to, I'm going to put somebody else higher than me. And so when he went to see Herod, Herod kind of just played games with him. And then he says, well, I'm just going to send you right back down to Pilate. And so Pilate, Jesus has come back to Pilate, and they've been, chief priests are pressuring Jesus, or Pilate. They're saying, kill him. He tried to tell them, hey, you take him. Do what you want to with him. And they said, we can't kill him. You've got to be the one that says we kill him. And so basically this is where Jesus is at. He's having a conversation, and Pilate is trying to understand what's going on. He's been on the outside looking in. He says, I'm not a Jew. Basically, I don't understand everything that's going on right here. So are you a king? Jesus says, are you asking me for yourself? Do you really want to know? Or are you just asking because somebody's told you that? And Jesus says, you say that I'm a king. But there's the reason that I've come here. And I've come here, this is the reason why I'm come. I'm about to die. I know that you're pissing a passive sentence on me, that I'm going to die on the cross. But Jesus, remember, in the garden he was praying. He was saying, Lord, let this pass from me if it be your will, but if not, I'm going to do your will. So we see that he's come to a place that he's settled into his fate. He says, I've come here for this purpose. This is why I've come, and my kingdom is not of this world. You don't have to worry about my soldiers fighting. I've come here to die, and I've come here to testify to truth. And anyone that's willing to listen to truth or to hear truth, then they're mine. And Pilate basically asked, what is truth? You tell me what truth is. Well, the truth that Jesus came to testify is that there is a God. He loves you. He made you. He doesn't want you to die in your sins. And therefore, there's John 3:16, which tells us all that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not be destroyed, but they will be given salvation and eternal life. But again, what is truth? What is truth? And you know, I don't usually try to be political, but folks, we're living in a time where Christians are going to have to get political. The more and more that we move up to November the 8th, the more and more you can't help but hear about politics. There's mudslinging and all this stuff. But something came up this week. Two specific things came up this week. On Friday night, or Thursday night and Friday night, I sent a text to the deacons and I said, I want you to look up a delegate named Elizabeth Guzman. Anybody heard of her? She's from Prince William County. She's in her third term for the 31st District of Virginia. And she's introducing a bill to the state legislature that would expand the definition of child abuse, according to nationalreview.com. If a child comes out to their parents that they are transgender, and the parents do not affirm the child, or they refuse to honor the child's request with the treatments and the blockers and all that stuff that they're saying, you can't get a tattoo till you're 18, but you can have your body mutilated when you're 10. But this bill she's put, that if as a parent, a grandparent, or a guardian, don't take my word for it, look her up, if you do not affirm that, and your child goes to school and tells them that they've come out as transgender, and grandma, grandpa, mom and daddy, or guardian are not willing to honor and support and groom them, then they will turn it over to the Department of Children Protective Services. And they'll come to your house, and if it's so that you're not feeding the lie that your child has fallen for, then you will be charged with a felony or a misdemeanor defined as child abuse. Folks, that's a lie from the pits of hell, but our country is swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. And I'm going to tell you something else. Don't believe it ain't here. It's already here, but praise God, we've got people that's been willing to stand up against it and won't fall for it, but it's coming. It's coming. I was listening to the Gabbard woman that left one party to go to, and she's independent now. Praise God, she's not going to be defined. But she said this, we have a new Chief Justice in the Supreme Court, and we have a leader in the leaders in the White House that are not willing to define what a woman is, and they're waging war against absolute truth. And here's the problem. If they're not willing to define what truth is, then they're saying that they're not willing to define anything and that everything's up for it. You know what? They're going to start redefining our freedoms. They're going to start redefining our liberties. They're going to start redefining what's right and what's wrong. They're already trying to tell us that a baby in the womb is not a human being until it gets to a certain point. Folks, there's a lie sweeping over our nation. I saw something this week I thought that I would never see. Up in Dearborn, Michigan, Muslims and Christians were outside the school board protesting because of the porn that they had inside for the children to read in an elementary school. And some of it's even on the preferred reading list. And I'm talking about nasty, ungodly. Just look it up. We've got to get our heads out of the sand and we've got to recognize. One thing, I mean, come on. And all this is, we're being told that this is for progress and for the betterment of our community, and that we've got to have an open mind and all this. What it is a reprobate mind that's taking over our country. God's been kicked out of the school. Prayer's been kicked out of the school. We've pushed Him out of everything, and that leaves a void. The Bible talks about when demons are cast out, but it's not filled back in, then seven more come back and fill it. And there's been a void in our country, and it's being filled with lies. Isaiah 5:20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light, and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." If they won't define women and they won't define truth, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble. The world is submitting to those lies, and we must stand up for the truth. But before we stand up for the truth, we've got to be willing to say, "I know what truth is." And that's not proud. That's not arrogant. Because it's not personal truth. We didn't whip it out and just say, "Here it is." We stand on the authority of Scripture. Listen to this. In an article posted by the ArizonaChristian.edu from May 19, 2022, ArizonaChristian.com from May the 19th, 2020, reporting on a survey by George Barna called "The American Worldview 2020 Perceptions of Truth." 2,000 adults from the age of 18 up were interviewed and were asked certain questions. One of them was this: "Do you agree that identifying or knowing moral truth is up to the individual, and that there are no moral absolutes that apply to everyone all the time?" So do you agree that there is no moral truth, there is no absolutes, and that it's up to the person to come up with their own morality? 58% said they agreed with that statement. 58% in 2020 of 2,000 people said they agreed that there is no absolute morality. Nothing is true for everybody. And that it's the only morality is personally defined. 58%. That means only 32% of our country in 2020 believed in absolute moral truths. Listen to this one, though. Same question. They asked professing evangelicals, Protestants, and quote-unquote born-agains the same question. "Do you believe that knowing moral truth is up to the individual, and that there are no moral absolutes and that apply to everyone?" 48% said they agreed. That is evangelicals, Protestants, born again, those that say we have a biblical worldview. 48% of them say there is no absolute truth. They're saying that the Bible is not without error. And if one part's got error, then what part are we to believe? The Catholic Church, 62% agreed with it. The same survey asked this: "What is the basis of truth then? Where does truth come from?" 42% said, praise God, that God is the basis of truth, that truth comes from God. 16% said, from inner certainty, from inside, from my feelings, my emotions, my intellect. 15% say science rules it all. 13% said, I don't know. 9% said tradition and public agreement. Whatever everybody else says is right, that's right. And 5% said there is no moral truth. So 58% that was surveyed in this said that if there is truth, it comes from somewhere other than God. And another one. An article at Christianity Today entitled, Christianity.com, entitled, "What is Truth and Why Does It Matter?" It's from 2016. It says this, and it's a Barner study again. but from 2016. In a recent series of more than 20 interviews conducted at random large universities, 18 to 25-year-olds were asked if there was such a thing as absolute truth. Truth that is true across the board, all times, all cultures, all people. All but one respondent answered this way. Truth is whatever you believe. Another one said, there is not any absolute truth. Listen to this one. If there were such a thing as absolute truth, how would we ever know where to find it? People who believe in absolutes are dangerous. People who believe the Bible are dangerous. What is truth? You see, we're living in the question that he asked Christ. What is truth? Absolute truth. As in John 14:6, when Jesus told them, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. In the Greek, the word is aletheia. And it means that which is in accord with reality. Facts that correspond with truth. Whether historical or an eternal reality, not limited to historical facts. The quality of being true. In accordance with fact, what is real, the actual objective state of things. That which is true for all people, all time, all cultures, regardless of time and space or place. So there's that truth right now that's in the balance. But then there's another truth. It's called relative truth. Or you might even heard of factual relativism. Factual relativism or relative truth. Truth is always relative. It's related. Nothing is absolute. It is always related to a particular frame of reference. The subject, the person, a place, a situation is not absolute. The truth is different for different people, for different cultures. It's all based on the person, the place, and the feelings in the times. It is a way to reason away fact and justify by being subjective. Well, that may be true for you. Can I tell you where we messed up a lot in church? Can I tell you this? If you've ever been asked, what does that scripture mean to you? You was asked the wrong question. There ain't four or five different meanings for one verse. It may affect you in a different way, and God may use it in your life a different way, but there is one truth behind a verse of Scripture, and there is one truth behind this whole book, and that there is a God. He loves His creation. He doesn't want His creation to die and go to hell, so He sent His Son to die on the cross for that, and today you can receive that truth if you'll only listen. That's what Jesus told Pilate, wasn't it? He said, I came to testify of the truth. I am the truth. So listen. How did we get to a point where if you don't allow and promote your child to believe that they're something else, how did we get to the point to where that's child abuse? And they'll come into your house and take your children away because you are abusive to your children. How did we get there? Because here's the thing. People quit standing on the truth. We quit proclaiming the truth. We've backed down to this idea of you be you, I be me, and let's don't cross line. Here's the thing. The other ones, they're going to push us until we accept it or they push us out. So today I want to talk about what the Bible says about truth. We might have to preach this tonight. I don't know. We getting fast. But listen to this. The God of the Bible, number one, truth. The God of the Bible is the God of truth. He is the God of truth. Hebrews 16:18. So that though that through two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have a strong encouragement to seize the hope that is set before us. Now, understand this. It says that in Deuteronomy 32:4 that He is a rock. His work is perfect. For all of His ways are judgment. A God of truth without iniquity. Just and right is He. The word truth there means the ability to know moral right and wrong. That God is. Now, but here's the thing. God is just not truthful. He is truth. You can't have God with taking away truth. Now think about it. He's loving. He's right. He's good. He's just. All of those things, that's not a description of God. That is who God is. You remember in James chapter 1 verse 13, it tells us that God cannot be tested or tempted with evil. We have a hard time grasping that because it tells us that we are drawn away by our own lust. We are sinful and we are fallen. And the world around us tempts us with things. The Bible says that sin is fun for a season. And we like sin. And so we see the apple. We see the fruit. And it looks good and it's pretty and we think it's going to taste good. And so we really don't have to be pushed that much sometimes. We just reach out there and we grab the forbidden. We're sinners. But here's the thing. When we are tempted and pulled away, God cannot, because He is completely opposite of everything that we find as a temptation. God is just completely different from that. I mean, as black is to white, good to evil, God to sin, He cannot be tempted with it. And anywhere we find God, we find what is right, we find what is moral, we find what is true. You see, that's what they change. They say, well, according to your Judeo-Christian ethics, then X, Y, and Z is moral and A, B, C is immoral. But according to where I believe, no, it don't matter. It don't matter. See, they're saying it's relative to you and where you're at. No, we've got a God that is a God of the truth. And He is the only God of truth. Everyone else, every other idol, everything else, the Bible teaches us that it's a demon. It's a devil. That demonic is behind that. And if they're not worshiping the Father God of the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross, then they're worshiping some false image. And they're falling for a lie. But today, we must settle on the fact, and we must stand assured, that the God of the Bible is the God of truth. Amen? The next thing is this. The God of the Bible's Word is true. The God of the Bible's Word is true. Psalms 119, 160. The entirety of your Word is truth. And all your righteous judgments endure forever. That was David. That was David. That was around David's time. Pretty sure it was David. But then in Proverbs, his boy, Solomon, Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse 6, he says this, every word of God is true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Don't add to His words or He will rebuke you and you will be proven a liar. Now think about this. Those two men, and I could have went all over in the Bible, but think about this. There's King David. The one man that we know in Scripture that God Himself declares, this guy has my heart. And then his boy, who we know did, he was crazy and he did all kind of crazy stuff. But crazy and wise can go together. And he says, both those men, they declare that God's Word is true when everything else around us is crumbling. What did he say? Not one jot or one tittle, not one cross of a T or a dot of an I is going to pass away before all of my word, it will be fulfilled. You see, you remember that we believe the Bible. Why? Because it's a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. They report supernatural events that took place as a fulfillment of some specific prophecies and claim that their writings were not human, but they are divine. I want to tell you, that takes faith. That takes faith. But praise God, we know where to find truth, and it's in this book right here. Let me ask you this morning. If I was to do a survey, and I'm really thinking about it, and I ask you, is the Bible absolute truth? What would you say? I hope you would. I hope you would. We would do secret ballot. That way you wouldn't know. I wouldn't know who you was or nothing like that. But think about this. Only 40-something percent. Well, with the evangelical Protestants and born again, it was 58%. Something happened with that 32%, wasn't it? Somewhere along in their life, they got to a point where they said, well, maybe this is not true. Maybe this is not true. I'll take the Ten Commandments and I'll throw everything else out. Or I'll take the loving Jesus who saves and throw out the condemnation. You see, what is truth? God is truth. The God of the Bible is the God of truth. The words that God has given us in the Bible, they are truth. And Jesus Christ is the fullness of God's truth sent to man. Jesus, hallelujah, that gives me holy goosebumps running up my back. That Jesus Christ is the fullness of God's truth sent to man. All of this truth was wrapped up in the flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, John 1:14, the Word became flesh, took up its residence among us, and we observed His glory, the glory of one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and what? Full of truth. I mean, I want you to consider this. If this, okay, I don't know, I'm Matlock, that's my lawyer show. I don't know what they got out here now. But Matlock or Perry Mason, and we've got this scene in a courtroom, and John the Beloved, he's sitting there at the thing, and Perry or either Andy goes up to him, and they ask him, what did you see? What did you see? He says, I seen Jesus and He was full of grace. He brought God's grace, God's loving mercy and unearned favor. He brought that to us. I seen that in the flesh. What else did you see? I saw Jesus, the fullness of God's truth, without error, without any fault or any blemish. I saw God's truth. Now think about this. All right, think about this. When I speak to you, because Jesus is called the Word, right? What do I do when I speak to you? I have thoughts in my head that I convey to you in a language because I want you to hear them and understand them, right? That's who Jesus is. God has some truth that He wanted you and I to understand. And so what He did was He sent His only begotten Son down here so that the truth that He could convey to whosoever, that it would be passed on and that we would know that God loves us so much that He sent His Son. Man, we have the truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the fullness of God's truth revealed to mankind. And He said, I came here to die. I came here for this reason, to testify of the truth. And to everyone who is of the truth listens to me. Oh, praise God. The God of the Bible is the God of truth. The God gave us truth. The only true God gave us truth with the Bible. And Jesus Christ is the fullness of God's truth revealed. But here's what's crazy. People often willingly exchange truth for lies. They do. People often willingly exchange truth for lies. I'm going to give you these scriptures and you look them up, okay? Jeremiah 13:25. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 34, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And then Romans chapter 1, verse 25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and they worshipped and served something created instead of the Creator who is praised forever. Now, I was raised up around As I was thinking about this, I can't think about Hurricane Ian, whatever he was. But this is what blows my mind. They're getting pretty good at tracking where he's going to come in right now. I mean, they can tell you if he's coming on the left hand of I-95 or on the right hand of I-95. I mean, they're getting really good. And so as he gets closer, what do people do? They say, all right, time to get out of here. You are, who are in section 4B, it's time for you to hit the road and get on out of there. But you know, the closer it gets, then they say, mandatory evacuation. You've got to get out of here. But we still live in a country where they can't make you leave. Amen. Praise God. We still need to praise the Lord for that. But there's always a certain few. You know what I'm saying? They're going to stay there. Even though the eye of the storm, you know what? They've got to be doing one of two things. Either they reject the truth for the lie that they think, I've got this in control. When we lie to ourselves about that every day, because really and truly, we ain't got jack squat under control. You know what I'm saying? Or either they trade it for this lie. I'm different from everybody else. It wouldn't dare fall on my house. And I've got a little bit of that in me. You can ask my wife. We've stayed in the single wild with it shaking sometimes when the wind's coming in. But you know what? We tell ourselves those lies. We exchange the lies for it. And here's the thing. You gradually and gradually fall into a darker and darker place believing more and more of the lie. So people exchange truthful lies all the time, but Christ Jesus is the truth that if you accept it, it'll change not only your life, but your whole eternity. John 8, verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And with every unrighteous deception among those who were perishing, they perished because they did not accept the love of the truth in order to be saved. For most of my life, there was always a push for me to wear my seatbelts. My wife and my children bug me constantly about wearing my seatbelt. I have multiple tickets that I have paid for the fact that I did not wear my seatbelt. Also, in my mind, I understood that wearing a seatbelt would help protect me if I were ever in a major accident. However, simply having the knowledge and understanding of the purpose of a seatbelt and knowing how it works did nothing for me the night of the wreck. You know that? I had all the head knowledge. But since then, I have had some minor bumps and such. But I've had my seatbelt on, and I have yet to receive a citation for not wearing my seatbelt since then. Application. Application. Jesus told him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto me except by the Father. You see, I dare say that there's people in the sound of my voice, maybe even in this building, that you know everything that there is to know about how to be saved, but yet you're not saved. Because you've never acted on that truth. But then finally, this is the last one, we'll shut it down. The devil is always going to have a juicy lie for you to believe. The devil is always going to have a juicy lie for you to believe. In John 8:44, it says, you are of your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he did not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells lies, he speaks of his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies. Now notice what he says. Listen to the words that Jesus is describing our enemy. He said he was a murderer from the beginning. He never stood in lie. He never stood in truth. He always dwells in lies because he is a liar. Well, let's go back to the beginning then, right? He slipped up beside Eve. And what did he say? The Bible says that the serpent was more cunning over in Genesis 3:1. Said that he was more cunning than the rest of the animals. And he got over beside Eve and he said this, did God really tell you? Did he really say, isn't truth relative? Did he really say that you couldn't eat from that one tree? And then he goes on in verses 4 and 5, he says, no, you're not going to die. You won't die if you eat from it. In fact, God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like a God yourself. See, that's the lie of humanism today. That we're the highest of all evolution right now. We're the pinnacle. Don't get no better than us. Don't get no better than us. Matter of fact, they're telling us that we're getting better and better. When the Bible says, physically, we're getting worse and worse. If we look at Methuselah and all them, their minds were better than ours. They didn't have to have the computers, or they might have even had them. Who knows, right? But they lived thousands of years. We're going the opposite. If you just watch nature, that truth is presented to us. But you see, the devil's always going to have a juicy lie. Right now, whether you're watching us, you listen to us, whatever, I promise you, he's telling you some sort of lie right now. Probably that preacher's preaching too long. No, that's a lie. How about this lie? If I accept Jesus Christ, I'll have to be perfect. Huh? Even some people that are saved today, they believe that. But Mark 2:7, Jesus says, those that are well don't need a doctor, but those that are sick. I didn't come to save the righteous, I came to save the sick. Praise God, I'm terminal. I'm terminal with the sin flesh. And I need him every day, and he knows I can't be perfect. That's why he became perfect. He came and lived perfect, as the spotless said. Here's another one. With the things I've done in the past, not even Jesus would accept me. Well, let me just ask you this. You killed anybody? You had anybody killed? Because Paul did. When he was Saul, matter of fact, he had them locked up. He had them beaten. He had them killed. When they killed Stephen, they laid their cloaks at his feet. Basically, he was saying, do the job and I'll watch your stuff. And he became one of the most awesome church leaders that we know. See, this is the lies. They're good lies. We fall for them. Ah, here's another one. I'm just as good as those church folk, right? You probably are. You probably are, but when you get to heaven, you ain't going to be judged according to church folk. You're going to be judged beside the spotless Lamb of God who came to take away your sins and the sins of the world. What about this lie? What about this one? I just don't understand about all that Jesus stuff. I don't understand how all of it works. Nowhere in the Bible have I read that they said you got to understand that the Trinity said you got to understand it to be saved. You know what he did say? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's this other one. I will come to Jesus, but a little later on. Listen to this one. Luke 12:20. But God said unto him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose are they going to be? Let me ask you right now, do you know anybody younger than you that's dead? We all do. That's truth. That's truth, that we don't have a promise of tomorrow. We don't even have a promise of an hour from now. 15 minutes. Jesus said through the writings of Paul that today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. This is the moment. There's lies that's being told. I'm going to ask our piano player and our song director to come. What is truth? Jesus said this. This is what I stand on. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And you know what? The same truth that can change your life eternally is the same truth that will bring America back to the America we love. And I'm not talking about what the traditions. I'm talking about the one that puts God first. The one, the God that tells us red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Listen. Listen to this. Some of the greatest humanistic philosophers even reject the idea of relative truth. Listen. A system of morality which is based on relative emotional value is a mere illusion. A thorough, vulgar conception which has nothing sound in it and is nothing true. Guess who said that? Socrates. Socrates. One of the greatest minds of philosophers that the world has to offer. Even he said, there's got to be something solid behind it. Whatever the system you're in. Can I ask you today, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you acted on that truth? Let me put it this way. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Because see, a lot of people, I ask them, do you know Jesus? Well, I've been baptized. I walk to church. I've made this profession of faith all day. If you die today, would you go to heaven? If you can't tell me yes, let me please show you what Scripture says that you can know. Number two is this. Will you pray for your nation? Because it's coming. It's coming. The lies of the devil are pressing in on every side. And we have the truth to press back in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you, when we sing it, come and just lift up a quick prayer for your nation. Number two, maybe three, maybe you need to rededicate today. You need to come back and say, I know there's truth, but I've kind of wandered away from it, but I want to come back to it. Maybe you even need to join Thomas Village Baptist Church. But today, what is truth? It is Jesus Christ and His Word, and this is what we have to offer those outside of our walls. Amen. Won't you come as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer? Please stand. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You and I praise You for this day. I ask You right now to let Your Holy Spirit work, whether it be salvation, rededication, come and pray for our nation. God, You do what You want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Look in. If you're watching by Facebook today, you don't have to have me around to receive Christ or anyone else. You just simply profess that you're a sinner, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, the punishment you should have taken, and that you believe that He suffered your punishment and rose from the dead. It's not what your words you say it with, it's the heart that you pray it out of. Because while men look well on the outer appearance, God judges the heart. Pray for our nation. Those leaders that we get so upset with sometimes, I could call their names out and it might make your blood start to boil. If something don't change, they're going to die and go to hell and spend an eternity in hell. I don't care what differences we have. We don't want anybody to go to hell. Or unless we've not caught a good glimpse of it. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our children. Lift them up. And we have a God that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could think or ask. So let's ask God to send revival to America. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You and I praise You for this day. I thank You, Heavenly Father, Lord, that You are truth, that Your Word is truth, and we can stand on it when we can't stand upon anything else. I thank You, Jesus, that You love me more than I could ever imagine. God, I pray for each and every man, woman, and boy, and girl that's been under the Word today, that You bless them in a way they can never expect so that they may bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you tonight. I got the snotties.